rise to your feet. Let's honor the public reading of God's Word together. Could we do that?
Amen.
Colossians chapter 4. If you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Look in verse number 1, Colossians 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says, Master, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing ye also have a master in heaven. You'll notice that the word master, the second master, it is capitalized. It's referring to Christ. What a wonderful truth there is in verse number 1. And we could talk a lot about that, but we won't. Let's move into verse 2. And let's just continue and look a little bit deeper here. The Bible goes on to say in verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Verse 3 says, with all prayer also for us. Now, Paul is writing, and he's saying right here, with all prayer for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. He's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, for which I am also in bond. Verse 4 says, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. He says, I'm asking you to pray that God will give me words to say as I preach the gospel. I want to speak to you for a little while today, just around this thought, and we'll just be a few minutes tonight. Prayer life principles. Prayer life principles, get this, prayer life principles for all of us. Did you know there are some universal things when it comes to prayer that applies to all of us across the board? And I want to give you some of them here in just a moment. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, bless our time. Be glorified with everything said and done, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. I'm talking tonight about prayer life principles for all of us. You know, when you think about life and you think about the life that each one of us are living, it is a very rare thing that we all have something that is universal, that fits. One size fits all for all of us, isn't it? See, the fact of the matter is, we all are very different people. We live very different lives. We have very different backgrounds. You know, we come from different places. Some of us had a good upbringing. Some of us had a hard upbringing. Some was just right in the middle of it. Some of us are from broken homes. Some of us are from homes that have been together and unified for our entire time. And the same with our current homes and such things. The fact of the matter is, there's different personalities here. There's different backgrounds here. Some of us cannot eat the same type of food. Some of us cannot have sugar. Some of us cannot have grease. We were talking about a few minutes ago. Some of us can't go to certain places because of allergies. You see what I'm saying? There is rarely ever a time in life that all of us are 100% on the same level ground when it comes to matters of life. We are just all very, very different people. But did you know when it comes to this matter of prayer, there are some universal principles that we are all on level ground with. Did you know that? Have you ever considered that? There are some things that apply to all of us, and if we apply them all accurately, appropriately, timely in our life, in a way that pleases and glorifies God, we can all do it the same way at the same time, and get it, we can all be right.
Amen.
In it. Universal principles. Principles on prayer for all of us. I love the book of Colossians. There is so much in the book of Colossians. One of my favorite chapters of it. Of course, there's only four, but one of my favorite chapters of it is chapter number 1, and it talks about, in many cases, you being able to find the will of God for your life. And that's so important. If you're searching for help in that, go look at chapter 1. There's some great things there that will help you. It is in that also that you find the description of God's dear Son. You find such a beautiful picture of who Jesus Christ really is. But when you're in the book of Colossians, we know that the Apostle Paul is the actual writer under divine inspiration of it. And as chapter 3 of the book of Colossians is ending, we are finding some relationship responsibilities that employees have to their bosses. And then as you noticed in verse number 1, I stopped a moment ago and I read it and we talked about the word master. And you'll notice there that it is the exact opposite as chapter 4 opens, and it is talking there about the boss's relationship that he is to have with his employees. You know, master's servants. In other words, to treat them all justly and to treat them all right. But beginning actually in verse number 2, which we also read a few minutes ago, and then in the verses that follow, really the remainder of the chapter, we are actually presented with three more characteristics of Christian living. Living a godly life. Three characteristics that God expects out of us when it comes to living a life that is pleasing to the Lord. The first one we just saw in verses 2, 3, and 4, and structured in certain ways, and that of course was prayer. And then we also see as the chapter continues to develop, it is talking in those cases about our public walk, what the world sees about our walk with God, who we are for the Lord. And then as you read on a little bit further, it talks about our speech that we are to have with this world, what they are to hear come out of our mouth. It ought to glorify God. Think twice before speaking once. Amen. Make sure that your words and everything concerning it brings glory and honor to Jesus Christ. Now, these are all wonderful truths that we can learn, but of course, if you noticed in verses 2, 3, and 4, we are talking here about the first. That's what I want us to focus on. You see, on Wednesday nights now for years, we have just been talking about prayer, haven't we? Learning different things about prayer, just little nuggets to certain degrees. Maybe some things we've heard many times. Maybe there's a new thing that we may learn from time to time from God's Word on this matter of prayer. Now listen to me, church, because so oftentimes our prayer life, it just gets stale. And while it may seem like that we are revisiting things that we've talked about time and time again over the years, we need to understand that when it comes to these principles, until our prayer life is no longer stale, until it is consistent in all ways, 24/7, every day of the week, every day of our lives, we need to continue to revisit some truths. So I want us to look this evening and look at these three things that I want to give you quickly about these principles of prayer for all of us. Some universal things that we can learn. Now think first of all with me about a prayer life of deficiency. A prayer life of deficiency. Now, is there anybody here that would like to lift their hand and say that your prayer life is perfect? That your prayer life is the best of it's ever been, but it's the best of anybody. It's perfect. My prayer all the time is consistent. My prayer all the time is daily. It is hourly. It is minutely. It is weekly. Every second, I'm living in a spirit of prayer constantly all the time. My prayer life is perfect. There is nobody here, there is nobody alive that can make such a statement. Your prayer life is not perfect. My prayer life is not perfect. There are deficiencies in every one of our prayer lives. Have you ever stopped to consider what some of the deficiencies are in your prayer life? I want you to think about that tonight. You see, one of the universal traits that we can all have when it comes to this matter of prayer is the fact that there is a deficiency in all of our prayer lives. In other words, every one of us could do better for God when it comes to this matter of praying and calling out to Him. There are deficiencies in our prayer life. The fact of the matter is, if we were honest, and I hope that you will be, the fact of the matter is, most of our prayer lives are on life support right now. Are you living your life today in a way that God even would answer your prayers? Most of our lives are on prayer lives are on life support. Fact of the matter is, and it's true, I am so oftentimes embarrassed by my prayer life. I preach on prayer. I put an emphasis on prayer. I believe in prayer. And there are times when I'm standing here proclaiming the Word of God to you concerning this matter of prayer that I find myself convicted about areas of it. I try to pray. I try to dedicate a large portion of my day to prayer every day to the best of my ability, but I'm still embarrassed when I think and I read the stories about George Mueller, when I read the stories in the Bible about the Apostle Paul, these men of God, these men that were men of prayer, and on we could go, that dedicated their life to prayer, and how God moved in their life, how God moved in their family, and it was all based upon prayer. The secret to every issue that we have in life is answered in having a prayer life that is not on life support. Having one that is not deficient in any way. Last Thursday, it was my privilege to preach at the Tri-State Preachers Fellowship in East Ridge. I had a wonderful, wonderful time. The preacher that preached right before me is one that many of you may recognize. His name was Kenneth Jennings. Kenneth, a great man. I've learned to love him. Pastor's over here in Subligna. He has a wonderful testimony and some things that encourage us when we learn about him. But he was preaching that day, and he was talking about various things, having to do with Christ being our rock, and he was dealing with prayer. And he said something that resonated with me I've not been able to forget. However, I will go ahead, full disclosure, and admit that though I've not been able to forget it, I have not tried it. He said what I would recommend, and he recommends to all of his people to do, is to take a tape recorder. He says not a cell phone, because you don't ever take a cell phone into your prayer closet, or we shouldn't. We're too tempted to get on Facebook, if you're on it, too tempted to answer a text message or a call or whatever the case. It's your time with God, and it's something that you don't have to have, but so not necessarily on your recorder. Go get an old-fashioned recorder. You might have to go to an antique store to get it. But try to find one. Go to eBay and take that into your prayer closet. Listen, and record your prayer. Not for anybody else to hear. Just for you. And then play it back later on. And he said he's never done it either, but he does encourage people to do it. And he said there's no doubt, and I would agree with that, we would be shocked. We would be convicted, and as I said a moment ago, we would be embarrassed at how pitiful our prayer life really is if we heard ourselves pray. We would be ashamed of ourselves. I want to challenge you to do it. I'm going to try to do it. Record your prayer time. Now listen, I'm not talking about a little 30-second or even a 5-minute prayer. You can stay focused. You can pray with passion. I'm talking about go into your prayer closet and you pray for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, calling out to God, and listen to how your prayers go all over the place. Listen to how that you doze off and you suddenly start snoring. Listen to how that there's just silence that comes on the line. Listen to how you're starting to pray about this and you're praying about that and it makes no sense. Listen. Now, I'm afraid to do that in my own life, but I am going to do it. But here's why I know this is true is because I catch myself sometimes being all over the map in my prayer. And it's not even being recorded that I know of. But I catch myself just going all over the place. I catch myself having moments of silence because my mind just gets distracted and goes the other direction and starts thinking about something that's not even focused on prayer. The deficiency of our prayer life. Is your prayer life deficient? What way is it deficient in? You got to get away from your kids to go into prayer. Oh, here's one for you, fellas. And wives, just get this. Guys, you got to get away from your wife to go into prayer. Wives, you got to get away from your husband. And they all said, praise God, there's a reason to go into prayer. You got to turn your phones off. The TV's off, the Georgia Bulldogs don't matter when you go into prayer. Deficiencies in our prayer life. So we not only see a prayer life of deficiency, we're all there, are we not? But secondly, notice with me how that we see a prayer life of diligence. You and I that are deficient in our prayer life, we must be determined in every way to be diligent in our prayer life. Now, as we study the Word of God, as we have read here in the text, I want you to look at it again and pick it up with me, if you would, in verse number 2. And we're going to see a little picture of this diligence of prayer that Paul, the apostle, is speaking of here as he is writing. He says, do you see it in verse 2? He says, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. And then he says, and watch in the same. The same what? He's saying, watch in prayer too. Continue in prayer and watch in prayer. Now, I want you to think about it. We notice those words that are given to us here, prayer and watch. I want you to understand, they go together. Do you know that? They go together. As a matter of fact, the word prayer and watch, it's hard to have one without the other and still be productive in your prayer life. Now get it, if you mark in your Bible, look at this word that is given to us right here. You see it, the word watch. The word watch, the word it actually means, it says to keep awake, to be vigilant. The word is actually giving the idea of being active while you are waiting on God to answer. Being active while you are waiting on God to answer. In other words, instead of praying our prayer and then going a totally different direction in life, not thinking about it anymore, get busy on doing something that has to do with the prayer that you just prayed. Sometimes we'll pray it, won't we? And then it's out of sight and it's out of mind. He says, pray and then be vigilant. Pray and keep awake. Pray and do everything you can to be busy and active in the work of God, serving God, glorifying God, being faithful to God until God answers that prayer. Now, is it possible that many of our prayers rarely or never get answered? Because we may pray the prayer, but then we abandon God in the middle of it. We're not faithful to Him. We're not faithful to give our tithe. We're not faithful to be in church. We're not faithful to encourage one another. We're not faithful, as we'll see in a moment, to pray for one another. Why should God answer our prayers? We're so deficient. Why in the world should God even answer our prayers? Friends, if you have a deficient prayer life, I think we've established, we probably all do, we must have a diligent prayer life to make those deficiencies go away, to eventually the pendulum will swing from deficiency to diligence, and that we will then soon have a prayer life that comes off, winged off maybe, life support that we have. And in the words of the old country Georgia preacher, he put it this way, and I like it. When talking about this matter of being vigilant after we pray, he said, when a farmer prays for a corn crop, God expects him to say amen with a hoe in his hand. Did you get that? Amen. When a farmer prays for a corn crop, God expects him to say amen with a hoe in his hand. In other words, what he's saying right here is when you pray for something specific, when you go to calling out to God and asking God to step into this matter or that matter of life, get busy for God. Prove to God that my prayer is worthy to be answered because I'm serious about this thing. I'm not going to pray for you to save my loved one and then abandon church. I'm not going to pray for you to give me a job promotion and then not give to God. I'm not going to pray for you to do this or you to do that and me not be faithful to the good God that I'm calling out to answer my prayer. Diligence in our prayer life. It's what we've got to have. Then he goes on to say, with thanksgiving. Do you see it right there? He says, pray, and then you want to watch, be diligent. After you pray, you're working until you see God answer it. And then he says, with thanksgiving. In other words, be sure and thank God always, even ahead of time. It is a blessing to know that God is going to answer our prayer. Amen. I mean, think about that. Amen. Whatever prayer you pray, in line with the will of God, God is going to answer your prayer. Now, of course, we know It may not be the way we want it, but remember, God knows best. And what we think we wanted may not be what we really need. How many times through the years have we said, I wrote a message years ago, I've never preached it, I got what I wanted, but I lost what I had. And isn't it true sometimes that we pray and we think we really do want this, and then we force our way into it only to learn God threw up roadblock after roadblock, stop sign after red light, saying stop, 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 don't go after that, but we force our way through it, we get what we wanted, we lost what we have. We answer our own request out of the will of God. Out of the will of God. Be sure and thank God in advance for the fact that He will answer your prayer, and in whatever way that He answers it, bless God's name for it, regardless of what His answer will be. This process is like breathing, one said. Inhale by prayer, exhale by thanksgiving. Inhale by prayer, exhale by thanksgiving. That's how much thanksgiving should work into our prayer life. It's as natural as breathing. So we see a prayer life of deficiency. And then secondly, we talked about a prayer life of diligence. But thirdly, I want you to notice this and we'll be finished. But a prayer life of direction. Have a course in your prayer. Have a course. You've heard people say from time to time when they may hear a young preacher preach and he preaches and, you know, we've probably all heard them. If you've heard me preach, I know you've heard them. And sometimes they're all over the place. Hit him in the back of the head, would you? They're all over the place. And you walk away thinking, I couldn't follow that because it was all over the place. Same as what I was talking about a minute ago. Our prayer life doesn't need to be all over the place. It needs to have a course. It needs to have a direction. Something that is heavy on our heart should not be hard to flow out of our mouth. Now I understand that sometimes you don't have the words to say, but that's why we have an interceder. That's right. To take our mess and say, this is what John meant. The tears were falling. He could just utter mumbles that were coming out. And the Bible teaches us that. But God, Christ, our interceder takes it to the Father and says, this is what He's saying. And sometimes those utters are filled with such passion. God says, I'm pleased. That's diligent. That's getting away from the deficiency. It's going to diligence. There is a direction in it. Though nobody else can hear it, He does hear it. And He does understand. And you look in verse number 3. Pick it up with me again in verse number 3. And He's talking here. And He's saying, He says, with all prayer. There it is again. Also, look at this. For us. And then He says that God would put words in our mouths of utterance that we could speak the word of Christ. And that we could say what was right. You know what Paul is actually saying? He is saying with all the prayers that you are going to pray, don't forget to pray for me. Don't forget to pray for us. Now we all understand that it's really pointless to pray for the ministry of Paul anymore. Paul's gone. All right? It's not going to help anything. The Apostle Paul is gone, but here's the principle. It's a principle that I've been trying to learn and that I've been trying to pass on to you for years. And that is the principle that we are to pray for one another. Paul is saying, pray for me. Now, if I were to ask for a show of hands on this Wednesday night, how many of us today called the names of other people in this church alone out before God in prayer? I wonder if a majority of hands would even go up. I prayed for this person. I prayed for that person. Many of you know the needs of people in this building. How many of us could really say that we did what Paul was asking those at Colossae to do and to pray for them? That God would give them the words to say. That God would give them the ability to share the gospel with people and do it in the right way. Friends, you've got to learn to pray for one another. These are basic principles that are universal in all of our lives. We're on level ground. We're deficient in our prayer life. We've got to be diligent in our prayer life to deal with the deficiency. And we've got to have direction praying for particular things. In this case, he's talking about praying for one another. Several weeks ago, I would say 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was preaching a message here on Sunday morning, I believe it was, and I was preaching a message on rest at the time and how I struggle sometimes getting rest. Let me just tell you something. If you ever have a need in your life and you need somebody to pray for it, and you're wanting somebody to pray for it, could I encourage you to go to Mia and ask her, would you pray for me about this need? And before anybody thinks anything out of line, I asked permission to share this, didn't I? Because that girl's a prayer. She's diligent in her prayer. Listen to me, she prays for every detail. Her prayers are lengthy, and there's nothing wrong with that. And she prays for every detail. I mentioned a second ago that 2 or 3 weeks ago I was preaching. I was preaching on rest and how we need rest. And one of the reasons that I hate traveling is because I don't rest well when I'm gone. And in the message, I just made a comment in jest. I said, one of the reasons I hate staying in hotels is because the lighting in the bathroom, I never can get my hair to do just right. Y'all remember that? I can't get my hair to do just right. Yeah, some of the lighting, maybe it's the water, I don't know. It just doesn't work right. You have that problem too, don't you? Hey, man, I bet you do. She filed that away in her little mind. Friday morning of this past week, I was driving them to school. Melissa and I were getting ready to go out of town for the night, just up to Pigeon Forge for our anniversary. We were just gone for 26 hours. We just, a quick little getaway. And every morning when we drive to school, the days that I take them, and I think they do it with Mom as well, we have prayer time. They pray. We're in the car. I don't close my eyes, okay? I'm diligent. That's a deficiency you don't want to go down. I'm diligent in it, and I don't close my eyes, but they pray. And there's a particular place that we start because we know that it takes about that much time. And knowing that I was going out of town, staying in a form of a hotel, as we were driving up the road, Mia is praying, and she prays, God, would you help Daddy's hair to do right? Didn't you? While you're staying in the hotel. Would you let Daddy's hair? Now here's the thing. She was as sincere and serious. It wasn't a joke. We can laugh at that, sure, because, there's some humor in that. But all the lessons we can learn from 11-year-old praying. Details. Carrying details before God. Saying, dear God, I heard this and I remembered it. And I'm praying for it. How would our lives be different if we had a prayer life like that? If we had an approach just like that, come on, brother, that we called out to God and we said, dear God, I've got deficiency in my prayer. Dear Father, I need to be diligent in my prayer and I want to have direction. I want to focus on the details that I can see God intervene in my life. How many of you are deficient? Have you thought about the areas that you're deficient in? Maybe you're not consistent daily. Maybe your mind does run all over the place. You don't have good direction. Whatever it is, there could be a multitude of things. But we're deficient in areas. And we need to be more diligent, don't we? These are basic principles that we're all on level ground with. Now, in just a moment, we're going to pray, and I'm going to invite you to come here, kneel in your seat, whatever you want to do. But as a church, I want to ask you, and I've mentioned this before, but I want to ask you to pray for something particular. Now, just in a way of a show of hands right now, how many of you have a prayer need on your heart? Just hold your hand up high. Would you do that? Just hold it high. Let me look around for just a minute. You got something on your heart, a prayer. Thank you so much. I'm not telling you, I'm not encouraging you not to pray for those things. I want you to. I think you should. But my house shall be called a house of prayer, and we ought to pray for some things in the church. Can I tell you one of my burdens right now? I'm really looking for consistency in the church. Watching for what God has for us next. And I tell you, one of the things that's always in the back of my mind as, you know, I'm hearing all these various thoughts about what are we going to do next? What are we going to do with space and all that kind of stuff? Something that's in the back of my mind and heavy on my heart is we are going to have a transition in a big way in about 11 months out of here with those that are so faithful that are holding a lot of the ropes in the Lord's church. They're going to go off to college. Young people that are holding the ropes. I am begging God now to send more. To be able to carry on the work that they are so deeply rooted in. They're doing what they have to do. They're moving on. And that's okay as long as they're doing it in line with God's will. I am praying for young adults. I am praying for young couples. I name several young couples every morning in my prayer time by name. And I say, God, take these young couples. These are those that we have contacts with and that I see so much potential in. Develop them, dear God. Help them to be consistent. Dear God, help them, I pray. Get them in. And there's many of them that I pray for. I'm praying for young families. Children, you got to keep the bench warm. You got to keep the minor leagues coming up to the big leagues. You understand, right? The Church of America is dying because we've not done that through the years. They're shutting their doors everywhere. A few hundred yards from here recently, one shut. We can't do that. We need to pray. We need to pray. We're not going to be here forever. We've got to establish God's work for the next generation. I know I've said that a lot, but it's a great, great burden. Would you help us pray for young people, for teenagers? We got a bunch of them, okay? But we've got to continue to move forward in those areas. So whatever it was that you put your hand up for a moment ago, that heavy on your heart, as a church body, would you get a hold of this burden with me? And help me pray tonight. How many of you will commit with me right now that you'll pray tonight that God will do this very thing in His church? I tell you what, I look around, I see about every hand that is up. God bless you. I think the Lord will be honored with it. Brother Daniel, come and lead the Lord's church in prayer. Those of you that are able to find you a place around the altar.